Hey, everybody. Welcome to A Couple of Guys Talking Habs. I'm your host, Rick Seligman, and I hope everybody's doing well out there. It is a beautiful day here in Montreal. So if you hear any street noises, I mean, that's because my window's open because it's quite warm out there today. So we have a great episode for you today. It is the mid-season, just a little bit beyond the mid-season. So we're going to be doing a mid-season report card. It is going to be a two-part series. So we're going to do part one tonight where we talk and we review or report on, I guess you could say, half the team right up to Brett Kulak, the letter K. We go alphabetically. And in the next week's segment, we'll be doing also the coaching staff. The coaching staff that was fired and the current coaching staff now. And yeah, so that's hopefully you'll find that interesting. We had a lot of fun doing that. I'll be joined by my regular co-host Jeff and semi-regular co-host Shamir Ravji. So we're going to be doing that. And in segment two, we're all three of us going to basically talk about what's on our minds or what's been bothering us lately about in the hockey world. So a couple of little rants. And yeah, so hopefully you guys will enjoy those segments. And just want to remind you guys, if you go to the anchor.com website where you look up our podcast site, that's a couple of guys talking Habs. There's a little link there. It's called message, and you can click on that and leave a voice message for us where you can either ask us a question, maybe leave us a talking point, or just any kind of comment you want. And if you do that, we will play that and either answer your question, talk about your talking point, or just play your comment in the next episode. So hopefully you'll do that. If you would like to find any of us, I can be found on Twitter at Talking Habs, on Facebook at my Talking Habs with Rick Facebook group, at my YouTube channel, Talking Habs, where I do all kinds of videos, previews, reviews of the games, live streams, and all kinds of different videos. And also, you can leave a email for me at talkinghabs@gmx.com. Shamir can be found at Shamir Ravji. That's on Twitter and on his YouTube channel under his name, Shamir Ravji. For Jeff, if you want to get in touch with Jeff, and I don't really know why you would, but if you do, leave a voice message for Jeff or look for him at 154 Indigenous Drive in Nova Scotia, Nova Scotia. He loves to get visitors. Jeff is, he's just a people person after all, you know. So enjoy the show, and I'll be back after all this to close everything out. So have a great listen, and speak to you soon. All right. Right. So we're back from the break, and we're here with I don't know who we are because I'm here alone in my studio. But on the line, I'm here with Jeff and Shamir. They're my two co-hosts for this episode. You guys all know them if you listen to the podcast. So we're going to be talking about report card time. It's mid-season. Montreal's played, I think, two games over the mid-season point. And it is now report card time for tonight. So Shamir, Jeff, and I, we are going to go over basically a list of the players. We're going to give you our opinions on what the grade is for them for the first half of the season. And hopefully we have a valid reason why. So before we get to that, Jeff, Shamir, both of you say hi. Jeff first.
Hello.
Shamir, second.
Hey, Rick and Jeff.
Yeah, if anybody's wondering why this is sounding weird, we're having a lot of technical difficulties tonight. So please bear with us, and we'll get through this, hopefully. It's not my day. I was recording videos today and just having the same problems. All right, so enough of that because you guys don't need to know all that. We're going to do a report card. I've done this in video form on my channel, and I do it every year, usually mid-season and then at the end of the year. And this is the first time we're doing it on the podcast. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to read out a name, and then the boys are going to start with their opinions and their grade
on that player, and hopefully we'll get through this long list of players. So you guys ready?
Sure.
That was enthusiastic. Don't they sound ready for it, guys? Yeah, okay. We're gonna start out with Josh Anderson. We're going to lead off with Jeff on Josh Anderson. Jeff, what would you grade him and why?
I'll give him an A. The only reason it's not an A-plus is because he's missed a few games here and there. He's had to leave games a couple times. Other than that, I really like his leadership that he's been showing, especially in the last week or so. He's big, he's fast, he's physical, and he's been putting the puck in the net, everything we wanted him to do. So, yeah, he's solid A. If he can stay on the ice more going down the stretch here, then he's an A+.
Shamir, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably give Anderson an A as well. He's been he's been good leadership material so far this season, and so far he's proving the critics wrong in terms of the contract that Bergevin signed him to. I think that it's pretty decent return so far. So he's proving the critics wrong. So an A. So that's where I would probably grade him right now.
I guess so. We're going to have unanimous. I would have to say an A as well. Like Jeff said, I mean, this guy's bringing it every night. He's bringing the physical side of the game. He is putting the puck in the net and doing everything that we wanted him to do. And for all the critics out there, I mean, I don't know why there were so many critics against this guy. And, I think he's doing a fantastic job. Imagine where we'd be without Tyler Toffoli and Josh Anderson scoring-wise, right? It would be freaking awful right now. Okay, so we're going to move off to the next A, A as in name, so letter of the alphabet. We're going to go through these alphabetically. So, Shamir, you'll lead us off with Yoel Armia. What do you think about him? Is there enough to... He's played enough games. What do you think, Shamir?
I'd probably give Armia a B right now. It's just that he hasn't played very many games, but I think he's been largely inconsistent so far in the games that he's been playing. So I just don't think there's a whole lot to, maybe give him, anything more than a B so far.
Jeff, what do you think? And you think he's been kind of inconsistent. Eh? What do you think about Armia this year so far?
I want to give him an F, but I feel that's too harsh. I'm going to give him a C because I feel like he should be doing more. And he has done a little bit here and there. He's missed some time. I'm going to have to give him a C, but when I look at his numbers and I compare him to someone that's played the same amount of games who I would give a high grade to, and we'll save that. I don't know if he's on your list or not, Rick, but there's a player that Armia has pretty much got the exact same stats as, and I would give that player an A. It seems kind of wrong to give Armia an F, so I'm going to go with a C just because I feel like he's had more opportunity, especially since Ducharme has taken over, and he hasn't really done a whole lot with it. There's inconsistency. Yes, he's missed some time and stuff. Just kind of really was hoping Armia was going to be in a regular season, a 20 goal scorer, and I just don't see that from him this year. And he's had opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I'm going to be along your line. I'll probably give him, I'm thinking more of a C+, only because I'm going to give him a bit of a benefit of the doubt for having the concussion. But I think, he's been highly inconsistent. Even on the rush where he usually he excels, you know, like intercepting pucks in the offensive zone. And then, you know, that's where he's been getting, for me, a lot of his goals, right? To get some kind of an interception, a pass, or whatever. And he turns that into some offense. He hasn't been doing that at all, really. The beginning of the season, he had a couple of really good games that way, if I'm correct, like two goals and two different games. Am I right? And then he got hurt, and it's been like, yeah, he really, after the concussion, I don't think he's been the same at all. So, yeah, I'm going to go with a C plus. He did have the concussion.
Most of his goals have come in just a few games early in the season.
I'm marking these down. Shamir, I forgot what you said. What was it, a B what?
It was just a B.
A B, okay. Yeah. And an F from
no,
Jeff.
No, I gave him a C.
I know.
I want to give him an F.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, awesome. So next up, I get, and I'll start on this one, I get Paul Byron. Great. Okay, Paul Byron. I probably give Byron, I said shit, and I was chastising myself. I forgot we're on the podcast. We're allowed to swear. Awesome. Paul Byron, probably, you know, I'm going to go with, I think, I'm struggling with D plus or C minus. I'm going to go with a D plus because I think he's been very disappointing, especially in the overtime. He keeps getting thrown out there to lead off. And I mean, he hasn't really done anything. He's got two goals. Yeah. I'm going to go with a D plus, and just for his inconsistency, considering what the money he's making, he's got an A on his sweater. I'd like to see some more consistency there. Let's see. Jeff, you go.
I'm going to give him a D, and I don't feel he deserves the D because I don't feel like he's in a very good spot this year, and it's not his fault. I think it's the GM's fault. I think it's the coaching staff's fault of how he's being utilized, being sent down to the taxi squad and brought back up. I think that just kind of plays a little bit of how can a player play with confidence when that kind of thing's going on. And I think there's a little bit of an issue there too with the fact that I think he knows deep down that he's probably, if they could get rid of him, they'd get rid of him. I think his confidence might be a little shaken. But at the same time, it could be age and the fact that he was never expected to be a great, great player. He was picked up on the waiver wire, and he kind of played over his head for a couple of years and got a big contract. And I don't know. I just kind of feel bad for Byron because I think he's a very useful player, and he has a place on a Stanley Cup roster as a third or fourth line player, penalty killer, that kind of a guy. I just don't know. I think he just kind of he's outpriced for Montreal right now. He's a luxury we can't afford.
Yeah. What do you think, Shamir?
Yeah, I'd probably give him a D as well. It's just, you know, Byron, he's been somebody that's like when he first got picked up on the waivers and then early on, he was just like, oh, you know, everybody's saying, oh, you know, Bergevin was a genius for picking him up on the waivers. Look at how many breakaway attempts he turned into goals early on. It's like, when was the last time you really saw that? And, you know, going into this season, like with all of Bergevin's moves with the acquisitions and the extensions and everything that he's been giving, and if we didn't have this issue with the taxi squad it being put in place, we'd be in cap hell right now because Byron was the player that Bergevin was hoping to move in order to clear up cap space so he could have that little cushion that he was talking about, like $1.5 million or whatever he said in case of a rainy day for injuries. So, I mean, when you are that player and you know that's really the intent that, you know, with your team, that's what the team wants to do with you. Yeah, it does. I mean, it is a crisis of, well, maybe like crisis in confidence that, you know, one would have. So, and yes, he's a lot of it is just not his fault, but it is what it is. So it's just like, what have you done for me lately? And it's just not much. So that's why I give him the grade that I do.
Plus, with Byron, think about when they picked him up off waivers, this wasn't a great team. Look at the lineup from back then. So he had a pretty big role on a team that wasn't great. So he looked, I don't know if he's looked better, but he's not going to get that kind of ice time or responsibility here. And therefore, the money he's making is.
He was a big fish in a small pond.
That's what he was, yeah. And now he's a smaller fish in a bigger pond. And it's showing. And yeah, I think it might have been a bad contract that they gave him. That's the big problem here for him. He's making too much money, because if he wasn't, they'd have found a spot for him somewhere, some other team. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say, and that's what I think the issue is he's gone from playing first line, second line minutes to now playing fourth line minutes or sitting in the press box, which is, and he's also,
you can't produce.
Yeah, right. And he's also playing with younger line mates.
Inexperience. Yeah.
So like I said, it's hard to shit on a guy that gave you so much, especially when you were so bad. But at the same time, like I said, it's just, he's a luxury. We can't really afford it. It's, every team,
not anymore.
Every team needs a guy like him that can play on any line in any position, pretty much. But
yeah,
at the same time, not at the money he's making.
Yep, exactly. All right, next up, Jeff's going to lead off on. He gets another good one. Ben Sherratt.
I can't wait for Shamir's evaluation. Can Shamir go first?
Okay. Shamir's in the couple. No, you serious or you weren't?
No, go ahead, Shamir.
Okay. Go ahead, Shamir.
I give Sherratt a B minus here. He's I mean, right now, defensively, yes, I think we're missing him. Yes, I was really harsh on. I was really.
I just want to say something, Shamir. I was not expecting that grade.
I know, me neither.
And well, I was debating.
What does that say about our defense if they've given him a B plus?
I was like C plus, B minus.
That's okay. Okay, so, it's whatever you want.
I just went with B minus only because lately I think that, you know, he has been missed defensively, you know, since he's out right now. And that's only his saving grace. I would have given him a much lower grade had he still been healthy. But it's all those, you know, puck over the glass penalties. It was really trying my patience. The fact that Price was seeing, you know, Sherratt's butt in his face, all, you know, a lot more than his wife's, with the screenings and everything, which was an issue with, you know, in the playoffs as well. And I think that this has continued, and just other boneheaded penalties and just doing what he did that caused him to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. This is why he gets. This is why I've been really harsh on him, because he's been making a lot of mistakes. But don't you worry. I mean, he's not the only one on the defense that I haven't been crazy about. But we'll get to him when we get there.
That doesn't sound like the description of a B minus grade. You sure you want to be as nice as B minus? That doesn't sound like you really want to go B minus. I'm just saying, you're being nice,
but
by
I mean, but as I said, right now I think that we are missing him defensively. I think we would be slightly better if he was still in the lineup.
Yeah, I think so too. Jeff, what do you think?
This one's actually pretty hard for me because I have my issues with him, like Shamir does, and then I have the fact that he actually seems to give a shit most nights because he's dropping the gloves and He's not very good at it, but he's doing it. And I mean, the fact that he's minus two, he's got 44 penalty minutes. He's only got 5 points, and not that I expect Sherratt to be a big point producer. I don't know. This is a hard grade because this is probably going to be the one that trips me up the most because I find him widely inconsistent. There's games where you notice him for stupid stuff, and then there's games you don't notice him at all, which is good. Yeah. I'm just going to go middle of the road and say a C+.
Okay. You want to add anything to that, or do I go?
I don't know. Like, Sherratt, last year, we didn't think he was very good at the first of the year, and he got better as the year went on. This year, it just seems like he's up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. I'm going to give him a grade of C. I think I don't mind that he fights, and I agree with you. It shows that he cares. But in this particular fight where he broke his hand, was kind of a dumb fight for him to take.
Yeah.
It was a challenge by Miller because he wanted to get his team going, and Sherratt should have no part of that. And look at the results. And the fact that he broke his hand, to me, proves that he should have had no part of that. The puck's over to Glass. Yeah, I think C is, for me, is where I want to go with him. I had to cough because I could. There's no way I can pause this. So, also, I want to say something I mentioned earlier when we're talking about this is, and this is something I got off. I think it was off of Twitter, and I thought it was a comment from somebody or a post, and I thought it was this is pretty interesting. Is Sherratt not possibly a little better than we thought? And the fact that we're missing him, and it seems like we really are. Is it maybe that, how do I want to put it? Weber's the problem and it wasn't Sherratt? That he's kind of, Sherratt's actually covering up for some of Weber's decline right now. And we're not looking in the right area because it doesn't seem like, well, Sherratt was able to play with him last year. They were pretty good actually together last year. Besides Victor Mete, who lasted two seasons and did okay. I'm just wondering that. I'm not 100% convinced on it, so I'm giving him the C. But I just thought I'd mention that. Let's not spend any more time on Sherratt because we only got a certain amount of time. There's no way we're doing this in a half hour.
Well, I got one thing to say about Sherratt that is positive is that he takes up space out there. He creates space. He creates room, right? And
he does some heavy lifting out there. So there's definitely that. Okay, so next up, Jeff will tackle. You get Phil Deneau.
D. Phil Deneau.
Explain. D for Deneau.
I figured he'd be a little better offensively this year than he has been. But at the same time, I don't feel like he has been as good defensively as he has been in the years past. But Deneau, he's the best center we have. And sorry, I got a technical difficulty going on here. He's the best center we have at all aspects of the game, except for offense. But we all know that offense isn't what wins you hockey games night in, night out. I like Deneau. I wish he could be a little better offensively. I think we'd be in big trouble without him. All the crap he's getting on from fans and everything about overtime and stuff, like, really, I don't mind him being out there to take a face-off in overtime and trying to he's good with possession, and that's the key to overtime is getting possession. I just feel really bad for him because he doesn't deserve the criticisms he's getting. from years because he played so well in the last few years. This year, it's just like, I don't know what's wrong, but something is wrong, and I don't know what he can do to fix it other than start scoring or playmaking, and that'll get everybody off his back, and maybe that's what it'll take, but the fact that he only has two goals and he's scored those in the last week, that's concerning.
What do you think, Shamir?
Well, I give Dano a D as well, and I obviously this guy was a fan favorite for, you know, the last few years going into this season, and I'm not somebody that's wants to run him out of town, but I just feel that that he's got to just figure out whatever is wrong with him. Otherwise, he might not be wearing a Habs uniform for much longer. But I just think that, you know, Dano is just having an un-Dano like season. I mean, that's quite obvious, but it's his only trump card is really face-offs, and it's because otherwise, if he didn't really have that, he would have been in the same situation as Tatar before the bye week, where, you know, he might end up being benched for a game or two to, you know, send a message out there. But I just feel like him turning down that extension over the off season, now it's just going to turn into, you know, maybe a bridge deal. And after that, it's just kind of up in the air as to what happens with Dano. So right now it's a D, but I mean, for all our sakes, he's just got to get that up, because the fact that a defenseman is, up there in terms of our scoring chart, I mean, that's pretty concerning as well.
Yeah, kind of. What was your grade for him? I don't know.
D as well.
Also a D? Awesome. Okay, I would, for Dano, yeah, I don't see how you can, you know, I'm going to give him D plus. Oh, wait, I gave you my score and gave mine yours. Okay, here's how I think about Dano. I think, you know, I kind of think the fact that he turned down that contract and then he realized that he's not going to have that season, I think that's weighing on him heavily. And I think that could be a big problem for him right now. I think it's clear he's not going to get that same money or term for his next contract. That, I think, his poor performance is going to kiss that goodbye. But I think this is what is probably, Jeff said, there's something wrong. I think this is what it is. Now, he also, though, went a full calendar year without a goal. That means part of last season. So was it the upcoming contract and then blah, blah, everything that's happened? Is that what's weighing on him? The fact that they want him to be more of what I think he really is, right? A third line center. And he doesn't. I don't know, but I think he gets, I'm going to give him a D plus only in that I think his defense is still good. He's been coming on strong a little bit lately. And so I'm going to give him the D plus. Jeff, you want to add something?
I was just going to say, it just kind of came to me when you were talking there. Maybe the problem's not his contract or anything like that. Maybe the problem is he's expected to groom two younger players to replace him. And maybe he's just not comfortable with that situation. Maybe, like, I mean, think about it. If he makes the younger players better and they take his position in the lineup, that takes money out of his pocket, food off his table. I mean, let's face it. These guys are making contracts that are to look after their families for generations.
Yeah, okay. Right? My only argument is he should know who he is as a player. He should also recognize that KK and Suzuki, their ceilings are much higher than his, and that, yeah, they're going to replace him. So he has to decide, does he want to be on a team like Montreal, does he want to be on Montreal and potentially win a cup here, make less money? Or does he want to go somewhere and make all the money and you got no chance to win a cup? I think that's what it is, because I don't think it's a surprise to him that they're better than him and are going to be have bigger roles in the next couple of years than he is. You know, I don't, you know, it's like someone saying to me, hey, you know, you're fat. And I go, what? You're kidding. No, I didn't know this. I mean, right? That's how I look at it. So I don't, you know, I don't know. Something's wrong with it. I think it's a good explanation that.
Well, some people aren't meant or good at being mentors either, right? Like,
He talks a good game, though. He says he's I mean, he likes. I personally don't think that's wrong. You could be right. I'm not saying it's out of the question. I don't think that's a strike. Contract, pandemic. I mean, I think things something's weighing heavy on him.
I think Shamir wanted to add something.
Ah, Shamir's up.
In a way, like, I don't mean to prolong the whole Deno situation because I know that we have other players to get to. But do you think part of what ails Deno is maybe expectations being much higher for him, especially this season compared to previous seasons, because of his success being a Quebec-born player? Maybe it's starting to get to him in terms of what the fans are expecting from him. Do you think
he has said he has these expectations for himself to be that offensive player as well. So I don't know if that would be it. Jeff?
I was just going to say, if you're going to have a bad year in Montreal, this is the year to have it with no fans and
true,
really limited media contact.
But not in a contract year. That's a bad year.
That's the side of it. But, I mean, really, like, players are pretty sheltered right now from real scrutiny that they would normally get in Montreal.
No, true. True, but, I mean, that's the same same for every team, though. Okay, let's move on, though.
Yes.
I get Jonathan Drouin to start off. Awesome. Jonathan Drouin, and everyone knows I've had some not so nice things to say in the past about Drouin, frustrated as everybody about Jonathan Drouin. I think Jonathan Drouin gets a pretty good grade, and I am going to give him an A. And here's why. Even before the coach change, Drouin was still pretty good, pretty consistent playmaker. Away from the puck, his play was good. Since Dominic Ducharme, his play has been – he's got more confidence. You can see he's more of a leader out there. I like what I hear when I hear him talk. He's saying – you know, I like what he's saying. Yeah, and his play on the ice has been fantastic. I know everybody wants more goals from him. I don't know that Jonathan Drouin is a goal scorer per se. So I think the fact that he's got 20, I think, assists at this point, that's pretty damn good. That's a playmaker. He's doing his job, and he's doing it pretty well. So I'm giving him an A. I don't know who's next in the turn. Jeff, you go. I'll just go with Jeff. Sorry, Shamir.
Shamir's turn. No, I'll go. Drouin. I want to give him an A because I'm a Drouin fan. But at the same time, I think that's just me being a Drouin fan. I'm going to give him a B because I believe the exact same things you're saying. And there was an interview with him after the coaching change that I thought was phenomenal. Yeah. I never heard Jonathan Drouin sound so
professional,
confident and smart and professional as he did in that interview. And that was right after the coaching change. I think one of the things he said in that, if you read between the lines, was he never really knew what Julian wanted from him.
Yeah.
You know, it was never really communicated to him. Where with Ducharme, he knows what he's got to do. The only knock I'm going to put on Joanne is I don't care if he's a playmaker or not. When you're getting the amount of minutes he's getting, the opportunity he's getting, and you have the skill he has, you got to have more than 2 goals. Otherwise, I'd give him an A. I'd probably give him an A+. He's obviously, he's not a defensive player, but he's not killing us out there. I meant to look to see what his plus minus was.
He's got like a +2.
Is he +2? Yeah, that's better than I thought. But I mean, Joanne is just, I think if we lower our expectations of him, he'll exceed them. And that's what we need from Joanne. I don't think we're going to ever get a 80-point player from him unless it's a phenomenal year.
Yeah, career year.
Yeah, but if we expect him to be a 60-point player, he may surprise us.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
I give Duran an A-. I want to give the guy an A or an A+, but there's just a lot of chances where he has the puck, but he just doesn't shoot, you know, that he can turn into good opportunities. So that's really my, you know, my one major knock against Drouin at this point. But yeah, in terms of the professionalism and everything, yeah, that's much better. And because, like previously, I think one of the knocks against him was he just had this cocky kind of attitude, but he just would never be able to back it up with. It's like, I don't mind them having this kind of attitude, but just back it up with your play on, you know, on the ice or on the field, whatever sport we're talking about. But this year he's been, you know, it's been an improvement. So even if he still had the cocky attitude, I wouldn't, you know, hold it against him because he's at least somewhat backing it up with his play on the ice. And he's been a better playmaker this year. And I would like to think that Ducharme has given him that freedom to be more creative on the ice there.
Yeah. Jeff, before you, I want to say one thing. It's funny how I've compared him to, if you've seen the movie Goon, the Goon's roommate, who looks so much to me, looks a lot like him. Same problems that we were frustrated with Drouin. And then in the end, he also, what does he do? He turns himself around, becomes a complete hockey player, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like Drouin's story. Jeff, what were you going to say?
I'm looking at stats here, and I wanted to put it in there for what Shamir said. So Drouin is actually -1 right now. But I remember at one point we had 15 games and he had 15 shots in 15 games. He is now at 52 shots.
He's picked it up.
So he is actually shooting more. He's picked it up since Ducharme's taken over.
Yeah.
But he still had 2 goals.
Okay. Well, listen, he's not really a goal scorer, and that might be there showing you a little bit that he's not really a goal scorer. Right?
But that stat shocked me that he was up to 52 shots. Nick Suzuki has 53 shots.
Well, there you go. Well, Suzuki, he hasn't been shooting much lately. So, yeah. Okay, let's move on. Shamir, you get to tackle the big guy, not Shea Weber, Joel Edmondson. What do you think about him these days?
Well, Edmondson, I would I'd give him an A because, you know, like defensively, his numbers, you know, is like one of the tops in terms
leading
of plus
league.
Minus.
Leading the league in plus minus.
Yeah, so he must be doing something right
and another,
out there, and you don't notice him.
Another
that
thing
much.
With Edmondson that a lot of people, advanced stats, he is, if not leading, he's right at the top of zone entry denials. So denying the puck carrier into the zone, he's right up at the top of the league in that as well. So it's a good start.
Yeah, and I believe it was Edmondson that took on Tyler Myers, yeah. I believe, after the
Omega
hit, if I'm not mistaken. So there's that. Yeah. So, you know, have his teammates back in terms of that. As long as you do it smartly, know where to pick your battles. So I really have no problem so far with Edmondson. I know that others have been kind of harping on him of late, but I think Edmondson's been doing what, you know, was expected of him so far.
I agree. Jeff, what do you think? Jeff?
To be honest, I never seem to notice Edmondson during a game, which is probably
a good thing, right?
So I'll give him an A because looking at his stats are great. He's a plus 24. He's got 47 shots on goal as a defensive defenseman. Yep. And he has 9 points. He's got more points than some of our forwards.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I guess it's a good thing I don't really notice him most games because he must be doing everything right.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna agree with you guys. I'm gonna give him an A as well. My only knock on Edmondson is because I do videos. I've talked about him obviously before. And remember, if you remember, my prediction for Edmondson was because everyone was kind of shitting on him like before he even played a game for Montreal. I said people are gonna be happy with him. He's going to prove his worth pretty quickly, and he did, really. I think the only knock on him for me is I thought he'd be a little bit more mobile than he is. Other than that, and for a guy who's not as mobile as I thought, he's got more points than I would have thought he had right now. So, yeah, good on him. I think he's a really good acquisition. I just think maybe not play him with Weber. I think he's done great with Petrie, and I think that's where he should be. And I think that's part of Edmondson's stay-at-home ability and his defensive abilities is what's allowing Jeff Petrie to be as offensive as he is because he doesn't have to worry about the back end as much. So it's allowing him to do that. And maybe some of your knock on Petrie about his defensive lack, I guess, for you, is that he doesn't have to be that right now. So I'm not judging. Maybe you have thought of Petrie that way for a few years. I don't know. But this year, and it's not me that's observing this. This is I've read this and heard somebody's opinion. And I agree with it that Edmondson is kind of allowing Jeff Petrie to lead this team or be right near the top of this team in points. So maybe not as concerning because of that Jeff Petrie maybe – that offense is coming because he's got that freedom now with the right partner behind him defensively. No? Did I make no sense there? No?
Well, because you guys
are looking at me like,
maybe.
That was about the dumbest thing I've heard you say so far. That's sort of the look you guys gave me. Okay, we're going to move on.
I just didn't expect to be talking about Edmondson this much.
Oh, listen, he's had I think he's done well. We're going to move on from this so that we don't get stuck here. We might end up doing a two-parter on this because we're only at Evans at this point and we're 40 minutes in. So next up is who gets it? Who gets Evans? Shamir is first. Shamir, you're first.
I think that Evans, you know, I'd probably give him like a B+, A-, but I'll give him an A- because he's done well so far, and he's pretty good at the face-offs, which is what we really need right now. So right now, Evans, I give him an A-. just because he's been one of the bright spots out there so far compared to some of the others.
Yeah, definitely. Jeff, what do you think?
I got two grades for Jake Evans. I give him an A+ when he was playing under Julian, and I give him a B when he's under Ducharme.
Explain it yourself. So wait. What does that average out to? A+ to B. What's that? That's an A-.
B+, A-.
A-, I guess. Well, we got to average it out. So we're going to give him an A- average, but that's how he gets to it. Okay. So explain.
Well, under when he was under Julian, there was not many nights I thought he was the best player on the team, even in his limited minutes.
It's true.
I felt like a lot of times this year he was probably the best player consistently over a stretch of games. I don't feel he's getting the same amount of opportunity with Ducharme as he was getting with Julian. I think Julian trusted him.
Also, Julian rolled four lines, so he obviously got more responsibility just that way.
It's not that I think Evans is playing bad now. Obviously, he's not scoring shorthanded goals anymore, but I think the kid's considering where he was drafted and where he came from and his road to the NHL. I mean, if we're grading on a curve, I can't expect anything more from him than what we're actually getting. He's actually exceeded some of my expectations. I just think he's a solid NHL fourth line centerman.
Yep. Okay, my turn. I'm trying to decide between the A- and the B+, but since you guys did A-, I'm going to go with a B+, only in that I think, he's getting less. You know what? I'm going to give him the A-. You know why? I'm just thinking why. He's coming around on the faceoff. So, yeah, he's getting less minutes under Ducharme. But he is coming around on the faceoffs last night. And I don't know, as a fourth-line center, how many faceoffs he's getting compared to the other guys. I don't know. But he had the best average of 75% last night. So I just don't know. Like, did he have four? And the other guys had 8 and 10. I don't know. I think for a guy that was drafted in the 7th round, how many of those make it? He works hard. From what I've read about him, he is very coachable. He's a very coachable kid. And his hard work ethic, that's the reason why he made it. And I think he's doing a fantastic job in the role that they've given him. And, I really do think, though, that the reason why you would have given him that better score under Julian is because Julian, I mean, basically he rolled four lines, not evenly, but he had more ice time definitely under Julian. So I think he's done well under Ducharme. When he gets in there, he just obviously gets less ice time. Okay, so we're moving on to Gally and Jeff. You are leading off. Or is it my turn? I don't remember anymore.
Did Samir get to talk about Evans?
It's my turn. Okay, so Brendan Gallagher's. I get Brendan Gallagher. And it's funny because I just watched Shameless just before we got together here. And the reason, of course, if you watch Shameless, you know that's all about the Gallagher's. And when you think about it, it is funny because I wasn't planning to mention Shameless, but doesn't Brendan Gallagher's attitude and the way he approaches hockey and all that kind of like the Gallagher's in Shameless? Okay, that's my Shameless plug. Brendan Gallagher gets, I'm going to give him a B+. Not that I think he's really underperforming, but I think he had a bit of a slow start to the season. And I think he's kind of under Ducharme. You can see the drive, the energy, his skate. Like he's moving out there. He's got a new focus. I don't know what it is, but he's got his goals, his goal totals back up to where they pretty much should be. And so I think the underperforming a little bit with Julian, the performing well with Ducharme, B+. I think by the end of the season though, I'll have him at an A. Who's next on this one? Shamir, you go ahead. I think Shamir froze. There, Shamir, you're back? Shamir. Okay, Jeff, you go while Shamir figures out if he's frozen or not. I just want
to... Is it cold?
Wait, before you go, people listening don't understand why we're talking like this. We are all on a in a group chat, so we can see each other while we're recording this, so that's why we're talking like this, because we can actually, we're not in the studio together, but we can see each other. Okay, Jeff, sorry about that. So we're talking Brendan Gallagher.
Can I give him two grades like I gave Jake Evans? Sure. Because under Julian, I would give him an F. And,
That's what happened. So we got Shamir's having some technical issues. You're on, Jeff. Don't worry.
Okay. Sorry. I give him an F under Julian, and I give him an A under
an F under, now, F, pardon. An F under Julian. Okay, I didn't think it was bad, but go ahead. Why would you do that?
I think he was one of the players that was sick of hearing Julian. I think the voice needed to be changed, and he played that way.
I heard there were players that went to Bergevin. Weber and Gallagher went with, like, whatever their argument on paper. And yeah, I think you might be right. He wasn't listening anymore.
But like you said, I can't disagree with anything you said about how his drive and his determination has really shined through, especially in the last 10 games. I mean, he's the leader of this team. The reason I gave him an F for the first part of the season was because of the slow start and the fact that, I'm sorry, but I don't want my leaders to lead anyone to getting fired. Really, that bugs me, but I feel that kind of might have been what happened here, and that leaves a bad taste in my mouth, but he's playing for the guy he wanted, and the guy he wanted's getting the most out of him. I don't think there's much more you can ask of for Gallagher.
How about if you look at it though, this way with that, what you just said? He loves this team. He is a leader on this team, and he felt the team was going in the wrong direction, and he tried to fight for this team to go in the right direction and be the best it can be. I don't find that too bad. Anyway, that's my thought. Go ahead. Sorry.
But at the same time, he wasn't playing all the first of the year. I don't know if it was he may have had an injury that we didn't know about. I don't know. He just wasn't Gallagher to me. He didn't seem to have the same fight.
First five, six games, he just didn't seem right. Yeah.
It could have been more five or six, but the thing with him now is like he's hustling, he's doing Gallagher things, he's getting pounded into the ice. And that's the only knock I ever have on Gallagher is he tries to play like he's a big guy and he's not a big guy and he gets smeared all over the ice. I kind of wish he didn't do that, but I guess he's not a sniper, so he's not going to score goals by sniping pucks very often. He's going to score.
He did last night, though, off the faceoff. But you know what? If Brendan Gallagher didn't play the way he does play, he wouldn't be Brendan Gallagher, and he'd be just an average player. You'd never know who he was. And, yeah, so he has to play that way, I believe. But you're right. He's a small guy, but that's who he is. So it's what makes him special. What was your grade again? Overall, what did we have?
I don't know. Are we going to average it out? I guess it would probably be a B.
Because I'm marking everybody down. Shamir, you're up.
I don't think Shamir's in
there. Oh, Shamir can't get back in. Oh, I think you're blocked out right now, Shamir. It's okay. We're only going another couple. Yeah, I can't put another invitation out. Sorry, buddy. You're going to have to listen in. Sorry. No, we can't hear you at all. Sorry. Okay, Jeff, let's move on to KK. You can start on KK.
I find him pretty average this year, which is probably good. So I'm going to give him a C+, B minus, I don't know. He's doing some things well. He's doing other things not so well. I mean, he's young. But I don't think he's really hurting us other than face-offs. KK's, I don't feel like he's playing like he did in the return to play, but we are seeing that play from him. Like, there's been a few nights in a row where he's been the best player. Like, he's been a star player on the ice. And then there's other nights where he's not a star player, but he's not hurting us either other than the faceoff circle. I just wish KK was scoring more goals. But at the same time, I don't think there's been a player that's played with different line mates as much as he has either.
That's very true. What did we come to for your grade?
I'll go with a solid B.
I am going to give him a B+. I think, what you said, he's not playing like he was in the RTP. He's not as physical, but he's still somewhat physical. What I like about the game is starting to mature. You can see his game maturing. He's getting better. He's more confident. He is growing into that body finally that he grew a bit. He's growing into that. He's feeling more comfortable in that. I think the offense, the goals that we're looking for, they're coming. They're around the corner. That's the next, like when he's going to reach another level soon. I think that goals are going to start coming then. What I'm impressed with, he is, some games he is the number one center. He was, and not only that, in the lineup, as they put out, he three games, I think, he was listed as his line was the number one line. So I'm pretty impressed with that. I think he can perform a little bit better, but I'm happy with him. I'm happy with his year. I really am. So I'm giving him a B+.
I wouldn't mind seeing a line where they throw him, Josh Anderson, and maybe Corey Perry out there and push some people around for.
You were saying that in the live stream last night, right? You put that out there. I remember. Yeah. Listen. I don't know. That's something like, you know, depending on the team and the situation. In a situational thing, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that either. Definitely. But you can see that when KK's got the ice time and the line mates, he can be very effective. Yes, sir?
I
was waiting for your response because it's only me and you.
Sorry.
Okay, let's move on to the last one for this segment, and then that way we can get Shamir back in quickly. So we're going to just finish on the K's. So Kulak's up next. I'll start. Brett Kulak, I'm going to give him a B+, because I think he had a very slow start, not a great start. But when he's matched up with the right guy, which I think was when he got matched up with I'm going to take that back, because he managed to do that on the third pairing. He got himself back to playing the way he was in the RTP and in the last part of the season before, if I'm correct. Or that season, he was playing good in the second half. Kind of. Brett Kulak actually is a I'm impressed with him. I thought he was going to kind of crap out this year. I had this feeling, and he hasn't. He's been playing well, moves the puck, skates well, can fire the puck, has decent vision. Yeah, I give him a B+. I'm happy with the way he's been playing. Good.
Well, I don't know what grade to give Kulak, but I don't feel our defense is that good. And I've given a good grade to Emmonson. I've given a good grade to Sherratt. I got to give someone a bad grade here, so I'm probably going to have to give Kulak a C because I feel like he should be a third pair defenseman or a press box guy. So I got to give someone on the defense a bad grade because I feel like the defense isn't playing that well. And where I've given almost half the defense half decent grades, I don't know. I just feel like Kulak is he's just there. I don't mind him either way.
Awesome. Okay, so we're gonna end part one of this report card. This segment, it's going a little long. This might end up being the whole podcast at an hour. And what we're gonna do though, we're gonna do a second segment, and it'll come out either with this one or in the next podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this, and we're going to end the segment here. And I'm not sure what we're going to. I'm hesitating because I don't know what we're going to come back with, but it'll be something interesting, and we'll catch you on the other side. So see you soon. Hey everybody, we're back, and to do a second segment. And in this segment, we are going to basically just talk about things that are on our minds or we would like to rant about. And we're going to start off with Shamir. And Shamir is going to rant about or talk about whatever he wants. What do you want to talk about, Shamir?
Well, before I go on to the main topic, I just wanted to wish belated happy 25th birthday to the Bell Center, nay Molson Center, because March 16th was the 25th anniversary of the first game of the Habs versus the New York Rangers. I believe we won 4-2, I believe, that game, but I know it was a win. So I just wanted to mention that. But main thing that that's been on my mind lately is just a lot of this rapid hopping on and hopping off the bandwagon, especially this season with the up and downs of the team and the inconsistencies. I know that bandwagon hopping on and off is just a part of cheering for any sports team. It's going to happen. But maybe with Montreal, it's just more so. All I have to say to that is, people, this stuff is cyclical. Players are going to have their ups and downs. GMs are going to have their, make mistakes, and they're going to have moves that make them look like geniuses. Goalies are going to struggle. So let's not always call for the firing of the GM or the coach every 5 seconds. Let's not try to run all these players out of town. Because you say that you want all these players to come to Montreal to help us out, and yet maybe a game or two, and if they're just trying to gel in and everything, and then you want to run them out of town, that's counterproductive. And always shitting on Price all the time, or hoping that Allen shits the bed all the time so your guy looks better, or vice versa. It's like, okay, 10 years ago, if you were Team Halak and you wanted to run Price out of town, how much better would this team have been over that time? I don't think it would have been. I think we would have been worse off, but that's a debate to have on another night. Yeah. But just goes to my point as to you can't keep running players out of town, wanting coaches fired all the time. There are going to be ups and downs. It's all cyclical. So I just say to those people, just calm down. And if you're a fan of a certain team, you got to stick through it, through the ups and downs. You can't just keep switching teams and hopping on and off the bandwagon all the time. The shocks on the wagon can't handle it. So that's
costing us a lot. We're spending a lot on shocks and tires. People don't understand.
Yeah, so that's all I have to say, for my part.
Yeah, I just my add to that is I think we have a lot of people in our live streams that have sore knees from jumping up and down off the bandwagon. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. You have to have some patience, people. Patience. I'm going to point out in the – oops, that's my bottle. In the last game, and we have a few guys in our live stream that typically, if there's a goal scored against us, it's fire everybody. So we were leading in the first period, and in the second period, they came back and scored two. And I pointed out that you just need a little patience. Let them play. Let them work. The opening's going to come out, going to come up, and they'll score. And they did both times. So, yeah, bandwagon jumpers drive me freaking crazy, and I have tons of them in my room. Jeff, you wanted to add something to this. It could be a different topic.
Well, as far as the bandwagon jumpers, I mean, I think some of it is people just want instant gratification. And
yep.
I can't really say that they shouldn't expect it sometimes. But the problem I have is I don't understand why this team constantly makes the same mistakes night in, night out. And that's the part that's frustrating to me.
I feel the same way on that point. I feel exactly the same way on that point. It's freaking ridiculous how they can do the same thing over and over again. That's Einstein's theory of insanity.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. It doesn't happen.
And
sorry, didn't mean
to. No, that's fine. And that's part of where like I kind of get to the point where are we really going to expect a different outcome with this core group of players where we've seen a lack of success for a period of time now where it just, like, I don't know, like, is it time to move on from a couple of these guys and let a guy like someone like Josh Anderson, who's shown some leadership here, maybe move forward with the guys like that instead of relying on these guys that have been here for a few years. I'm not saying trade everybody, but sometimes things need to get shaken up a little bit. And I get where some fans are coming from with their get rid of this guy, trade that guy. Because some of it is not just instant gratification. Some of the people are looking at it going, we've read this book. We've seen it over and over again.
Over and over.
And I get that frustration because it frustrates me too. Now, am I going to jump on and off the bandwagon? Not really. I think patience is something that you gain with age, especially when it comes to sports and you realize it's not really that important. It's like Montreal loses a game. It's not ruining my night.
Exactly.
It's not making my night better.
No.
But it's not ruining my night.
I find for me, the older I get, like when I was younger, in my 30s and even younger, obviously, when they lose a big game, especially, or they, you know, they would lose the Stanley Cup in whatever game in the finals, you know? I'd be kind of crushed. So I could kind of understand how the young guys tell me that they can't sleep, they get whatever after a loss. For me now, 5 minutes, 10 minutes after the game, I mean, if I was angry, I'm over it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, with age, you learn how to, get over things quicker.
Well, it's
– work through things.
It comes down to, like, hey, if they lost a playoff game, I'm going to be a little bit more upset than I would be in a game in the middle of February, right? Leaf games, I'm going to be a little more upset. But at the same time, like, does it change my day-to-day? No. Like, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to go to work and whatever.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not going to allow Carey Price having a bad game to ruin my day.
Like, no, exactly. That's the thing. You can't let that stuff ruin your day because it's a sports. It's a sports team. They could lose any time.
Yeah.
Any game they could lose. It's you know. So to live and die off their wins and losses is ridiculous.
But I do understand where some people are frustrated. Like when
frustrated
because. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. This is probably the best team we put on the ice in the last 2 years, and a lot of people were expecting a lot more. And the start they had really fanned those flames.
Yeah, and to quote, and the RPP.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like part of me goes like the old Dennis Green quote: "They are who we thought they were." Or they are who we thought they are.
Yeah.
Part of me just feels that way because it's some of the same old.
Just as long as...
Same kind of struggles, same stuff going on. Power play was struggling. Carey Price was struggling.
Well, like, I mean, just as long as...
I don't know.
Just as long as...
Not being able to score goals. Like, this is all stuff that's been there... year after year. So I understand some of the frustration. I mean, but am I going to let it ruin my day? No.
No.
But at the same time, believe me, I get annoyed and pissed off too.
But, you know, just as long as the team doesn't get into the situation where we're, you know, let's say fifth, sixth, or whatever in the division, and we have Ducharme answering a question, and he has to say, playoffs? You're talking playoffs?
Jim Mora.
You know, going Jim Mora. but yeah, I get that there are...
What did you say that was? That was a basketball player.
That was Jim Mora, the former NFL coach.
I'm thinking practice.
That was Iverson.
Playoffs. You're talking playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. I got confused.
but yeah, in terms of frustrations out there, yeah, I get. You know, there are times when I get frustrated about certain things, especially over the overtime strategy. It was just the same old thing, doubling down on the same stuff and hoping for a different result. It's just like. Do you not get this? Yeah, exactly. And you know what? On Saturday's game, yeah, they changed shit up and we got a different result.
Yep.
And also Rick created a new superstition here. Wear the helmet during overtime.
I did not create that.
Wear the helmet.
That was created by the people in the live stream, not me, but it seems like it's going to be a new thing.
The first rule of mass media, give the people what they want.
Let's get that turned.
That's what I did. Okay, I'm going to add to this rant, I'm going to add my rant about the reverse retro jerseys being a curse. Okay, this is my thoughts on it. It's a jersey. It's just a fucking sweater. I don't see what color has to do with anything. If the reverse retros are cursed, why aren't their other sweaters cursed? What makes the reverse retros a cursed jersey? Anyway, they won and they got the monkey off the back. And yeah, I'm just tired of hearing how they're cursed. I keep saying they're not. They're going to win. And they finally did. And that's my rant. Stop saying it. It's a fucking sweater. It's a piece of cloth.
Some would argue the other jerseys are cursed.
What would make it cursed, though? What would make the reverse retro jerseys cursed? And why only some teams? Because other teams win it in them regularly.
Oh, Mr. So Eaton. Mr. Eaton, please send me a Habs jersey. Sends him a reverse retro, and who knows? Maybe the little boy is hoping that a swarm of moths end up eating, the reverse retros. I mean, it would have been funny if some people had started to go down that path, creating memes and social media posts about that.
I just don't get it. So my rant is about reverse retros. Please, now that they've won a game, anybody that's listening that's going to be in my live stream, no, stop talking about the fucking curse. No. Come on. If anything's cursed, it's the goddamn team. It's supposed to be a curse from them leaving the forum. So, and you know what? They haven't really won anything since, so maybe the curse is real.
Well, people want something to blame, when things aren't going right. I mean, heck, people start blaming the commentators when they start losing. So that's how silly it gets.
They lost, and it's because of the reverse retros. But if they're in a losing streak and they lost wearing the reverse retros, what about the other games in the losing streak? How come those happen? So, yeah, that's my rant. And that brings us to a close because we're at 15 minutes. So we just wanted to bring you this hopefully fun little segment about us ranting about stuff that bothers us about hockey and the Montreal Canadiens. So we're going to end this segment here. I want to thank Jeff and Shamir, and we will be, or at least I will be back to close everything out right after this, and we'll see you on the other side.
Hey there. So I hope you guys enjoyed that, the two segments, the show. And hopefully you're looking forward to hearing the rest of our report card with the, I guess it goes from L, I don't know, is there any players with L? All the way to Z. And we'll also take on the coaching staff, the fired coaching staff and the new coaching staff. So that's for next week. That's part two. And also we're going to talk some more shit about whatever happens this week. There's always something that's happening during the week. And as a matter of fact, what's going on as I'm doing the intro and the outro is the COVID scare for Montreal. Don't know the result. I'm waiting here. I was kind of hoping that it would come in so I could talk about it here, but that's not happening. So we'll be talking about that as well on the next week's episode. So hopefully you guys will check us out for that. I want to remind you guys to please leave a message. Just go to the Anchor app, find our site on the Anchor app. And it says message. You click that and you can leave a voice message and you can ask a question, give us a talking point or just anything you want to say. And we'll play that and on the next episode. So hopefully you guys will do that. You can reach me at Talking Habs on Twitter, the Talking Habs with Rick Facebook group. You can find my videos on YouTube, and the channel is Talking Habs. You can also send me an email at talkinghabs@gmx.com. Shamir can be found at Shamir Ravji on Twitter and his YouTube channel under his name, Shamir Ravji. And once again, Jeff, you can leave Jeff a message, but basically, you know, Jeff's just unreachable. That's just, you know, the way it is. So just send me a message and I'll pass it on to Jeff. So I want to just thank everybody for listening to this episode. I hope you'll check out next week's episode. And I hope you guys all have a great week. And we'll be talking to you soon at A Couple of Guys Talking Habs. Bye, everybody. La 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 la.